You know, the other day, when you heard that song next to that other song that was so awesome that you had what we call a driveway moment, where you can't get out of your car because it's so awesome, that was a real person who put that set together. What I'm trying to say is, KUTX is real. Real music brought to you by real people. The Austin Music Experience needs your support as we go into our spring membership drive, March 29th. So Real Radio needs real support. Make your donation and learn more at KUTX.org. Thanks. This is 98.9 KUTX Leander, KUTHD 2 90.5 Austin, and KUTX.org. Community supported public radio from UT Austin.
Support comes from the Blanton Block Party, celebrating the new Blanton Galleries with the Day to Night Community Festival featuring music, food, art, and activities. Saturday, March 25th, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Details at blantonmuseum.org.
Jody Denberg here with David Frick and Robin Hitchcock, wrapping up South By. And having Robin and David in the room, I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up the subject of Pink Floyd and Syd Barrett, because David has written extensively about them, and Robin's music, at least to my ears, sounds so influenced by them, especially the Syd Barrett period. And you guys were talking about having certain records in 1967, currently, when they came out. I am a little bit younger, and I wasn't really hip to Syd Barrett until I listened to the music of Robin Hitchcock. And then I backtracked, and I found records like the Madcap Laughs and the early Pink Floyd stuff. So first I'll throw it to you, David. For people who don't know who Syd Barrett was, the leader of Pink Floyd prior to the golden years of Dark Side of the Moon, can you just give us a thumbnail about Syd, which I know is difficult?
It is difficult because he was, and Robin, I'm sure, can speak to this with great authority. He was really someone who had so much. He was a singer, a songwriter, a visionary songwriter, a visionary guitar player, someone who was really using almost like atonality and, you know, sort of like random sliding up and down the neck with a cigarette lighter.
Yeah.
And then he was sort of drawing on, you know, children's literature, Wind in the Willows, Winnie the Pooh. He was a painter, an art student, and fell in with this group of architecture students in London. He was originally from Cambridge, and, you know, essentially forming a blues band, which became anything but a blues band, being the original Floyd with Roger Waters, Nick Mason, and Richard Wright. And he was really only in that band for, 18 months? Really? You know, by January of 68, he was gone.
Yeah, I suppose they were probably there for about 2 years altogether.
Yeah.
But it was very quick.
So, Robin, was this music that you listened to when it was contemporary, the Syd Barrett era of Pink Floyd, and seeped into your own music?
I heard them, you know, the first two Pink Floyd singles, which were Syd Barrett songs, Arnold Lane and See Emily Play, when they came out. And I really liked them. You know, I thought this was good. Piper at the Gates of Dawn came out, which again had different tracks in the States because
yes.
They put the singles on it, like Are You Experienced. The British LP doesn't have any of the singles, but it starts with Astronomy, Donomy, the song I was talking about earlier that the Claypool Lennon Delirium now start their shows with. And, you know, it's like a sort of British 8 miles high. There's just an incredible feel of liftoff, and it's very exhilarating music. And then, you know, within about 6 months, Barrett stalled and crashed, you know, his wings melted, he got too near the sun, whatever. Those whom the gods love, they destroy, bring out all the old Greek quotes and curses, you know. What made him seem to derail him? And he produced this two rather depressed, dazed records, which I really love. But they're a bit rickety. Having spent 40 years as a musician, to my ears, they now sound very sketchy and tentative. But they are still beautiful, and there'd be no Robin Hitchcock without Syd Barrett in terms of a songwriter. I just wouldn't have. I don't know what the hell I'd have sounded like, you know. But the stuff he did with the Pink Floyd is easier to listen to the, you know. just if you're a casual listener.
Well, we shall do that then. I have a song called Flaming from a Pink Floyd BBC session in 1967. This comes from the box set that came out last year called The Early Years, which is 28 discs. I think there's 11 CDs and then all sorts of Blu-rays and singles and things like that, which is boiled down, thankfully, to a two CD set for those of us that don't have $550. But
and a forklift to
and a forklift to lift it off the ground.
Have you listened to all of this, David?
Yes, I have.
Wow,
it's interesting because a number of the things in there have circulated on bootlegs like the BBC sessions, but to have them with as much clarity as they could provide, and also the DVDs are interesting because actually there's a DVD of material from Sid's point in the band, and they include the American Bandstand clip, in which they play, I think it's Bike, which wasn't even an American release. And then Dick Clark comes over and attempts to interview the band. Well, his interaction with Sid has to be seen to be believed.
Well, we need to hear Sid. And Flaming features Sid on lead vocals.
It's lead vocals, and he wrote it.
These are the Pink Floyd, and this is called Flaming. Very strange, ethereal sounds.
Alone in the clouds all blue, lying on an eiderdown. Hippie, you can't see me, but I can you. Blazing in the foggy dew.
Floyd from the box set The Early Years, 1967 to 1972, and that song Flaming from a BBC session in 1967. This is Jody here with David and Robin. We're on a first name basis now. David, you've written about Pink Floyd over the years. What was the nature of your writing?
Before I do that, I just want to mention we should recognize the dulcet tones of John Peel at the beginning of that session. One of the great DJs of all history.
Amen.
And a big inspiration to me. I'm writing about the Floyd. I've written about the Floyd for so long. I did a big cover story basically on the split, the Waters versus Gilmore Berlin Wall schism of 87, I guess. And but then I ended up doing interviews with David Gilmore for other things. I've talked to Roger a lot. I just had Nick Mason on my SiriusXM show, and I interviewed him for the PBS TV show Speakeasy, which will air in September, talking about Sid, the whole Floyd history. It was a really fascinating conversation. But for me, writing about the Floyd almost seemed preordained because Pink Floyd was the first show I ever saw in July of 1968 in Philadelphia. It was David Kilmour's first tour with the band, and I immediately ran out and bought Saucer Full of Secrets, backtracked to the Piper at the Gates of Dawn, and then everything since. It's, you know, they've just been the soundtrack of so much.
And Robin, for me, who wasn't familiar with Syd Barrett era Pink Floyd as a contemporary listening experience, I came to your records and heard things and then backtracked and listened to Syd Barrett's solo records and the Floyd. When you were making these records that smacked of Syd, if you will, were there times when you heard them and thought, oh, that's too much like Syd, or was it just something that came through you naturally because that's what you listened to?
It was what I listened to, and it was the, as with Revolver, it was the kind of music I wanted to make. You know, I suppose now it's called psych folk or whatever. You know, there's just a bunch of records that would belong in a certain record rack, and I would put the Syd Floyd with the Beatles and with Dylan at his most accelerated. And if you could, if there was a name for that genre, that's the music I wanted to make. You know, by the time I was, by the time I'd learned to tune my guitar at 14, I knew that was what I wanted to do. There wasn't, there still isn't really a name for it. It's kind of psychedelic. And they all influenced each other, you know. Barrett, Dylan and the Beatles cross-pollinated like crazy, and they begat the Byrds. Barrett was a little bit younger, but he came along. I know he and David Gilmour went to see Bob Dylan in 1964 at the Festival Hall.
Oh, there's the song that Syd wrote called Bob Dylan's Blues.
A very rare excursion into the outside world for Barrett, and not a particularly successful one. But you know, he listened to that. And I know they were recording Piper at the Gates of Dawn in Abbey Road 3 while the Beatles were in Abbey Road 2, and McCartney sort of, you know, stepped out and nodded with approval and things, you know. So it was all, and I was the little kid with my nose pressed up against the window pane. I was too young to go to the UFO, which my now friend Joe Boyd was running. Joe produced the first Floyd single, and I am the wannabe that desperately wanted to have, you know, I wanted to blow my mind on the psychic battlefields of 1967, but I was too young.
Did you ever see Syd in Cambridge?
I wouldn't have known if I had, because I wouldn't have recognized him. I was certainly watching out for him, but actually, when I did see pictures of him after I'd left, I didn't, could have been anybody. He looked like a pottery teacher.
And Robin, you took the music to new places. David, I want to play a song that has a... I'm blanking
out. You've heard of him, Roger Waters.
Roger Waters, lead vocal, thank you. And it's Green is the Color. Now, Roger is getting ready to put out a new solo album, his first in a decade and a half.
25 years, actually, yeah.
And played the Desert Trip.
You played Desert Trip, and a show that was all Floyd. And all Floyd in the sense that he went back and was doing things like Set the Controls for the Heart of the Sun, One of These Days, and then all of Animals, a record that, you know, he hadn't really visited in a very long time. But that's interesting. The song we're going to play is from a soundtrack. It's from the Floyd's third album. It's on More, which is really kind of an interesting transitional record because you can see the songwriting evolving. Basically, after Syd left, or they left him, they had no songwriter, and they hadn't really developed any kind of lyric or melodic concept of their own. So everything was very, very spacey. You know, the title track, Saucer Full of Secrets, is basically an improvisation. With More, you can hear some of the songs evolving, like in Cymbeline and the Nile song, and in the track that we're going to play now.
Thank you.
KUTX, Pink Floyd from the box set The Early Years, 1967 to 72, and a BBC session from 1969 with Green is the Color. David Frick, who's written extensively about Pink Floyd, and Robin Hitchcock, who's greatly influenced by them, my guests today as we wrap up South By Pod, playing music that we like. And one of the big events at South By was actually a couple, was, well, what remains of Big Star, drummer Jody Stevens, and their friends doing a concert for Big Star's third that I guess was to promote this documentary called Thank You Friends.
Yes, and I guess it's a documentary about performing the album live. There was a show they did in New York that was fantastic. Michael Stipe actually showed up for it as well. And so they've done these different iterations of the album with various guests, but you know, the key being Jody Stevens, obviously Ken Stringfellow of the Posies, who's played with the reunited Big Star, and Mike Mills of REM, always in there on bass and vocals, and then frequent special guests, including Mr. Hitchcock.
Am I in this one?
I haven't seen the film yet, okay. So I can't say.
I think I was there when it was filmed, but I don't know if they kept any of my... I have a couple of cameos, yeah.
And in Austin, augmented by the Tosca Strings the other night at the Central Presbyterian Church. So Pink Floyd, we heard them in their formative stages. They went on to be one of the all-time biggest bands in the world. Big Star, equally
exactly
wonderful.
The opposite.
Yeah, equally wonderfully wonderful in an artistic sense, became sort of the ultimate cult band.
But what an amazing afterlife that when you think, when I think of, I had those original records, Number One record and Radio City when they came out, and there you could count on two hands the number of critics that talked about those records. I was just a reader of Rolling Stone and Cream and, you know, all the rock mags, and they're all raving about this band. And you couldn't see them, you couldn't hear the records on the radio. I had them because I got them at my college radio station. And then it takes, what, another 5, 6, 7 years. Big Star Third finally comes out after the band has totally disintegrated. It becomes a cult item. It's like the Velvets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that old story, the old Brian Eno joke, you know, nobody bought the Velvets records, but the 30 people who did went out and formed important bands. You could say the same thing about Big Star.
And if you watch the Big Star documentary, it begins with a clip of Alex Chilton being interviewed on this radio station years ago. So that's interesting. Robin, did you have the Big Star records when they were contemporary, or did you come to them later?
No, like Nick Drake, I'm afraid I didn't know about them at all. And I first discovered them probably when, Alex Chilton was given to us as a support act when we first toured the West Coast. He had a pickup band and he wasn't playing any of his own songs. He was doing sort of obscure soul covers.
And yeah, that would be Alex.
He was being very defiantly downbeat, you know, like when they finally reconstituted Big Star with him and Jody with Ken and John from the Posies. Alex insisted standing stage left. He wouldn't stand in the middle. You know, I think his feelings about stardom were quite contemptuous in a way.
For a guy that led a band called Big Star and had a first record called Number One Record and who was getting ready to come to Austin 6 or 7 years ago, perhaps?
Yeah.
And
he
passed away
in the middle. But I was actually, it was weird. I was lucky to see, I think, the last Big Star show in New York, in Brooklyn, Brooklyn Tabernacle, I think it's called. And they were fantastic. It was only maybe a couple of months, maybe weeks. I'd have to look at my calendar. But, if, you know, whatever Alex's conflicts with stardom were, and in fact, after the show, I went back to say hi to Jody. You know, Alex wouldn't really come out. Jody was sort of like the public face for Alex. He was the interface
for him.
He's the good
cop. Yeah.
But man, when he sang, when the music was playing, you know, he was fully invested. But once he was done, it was like, okay, you know, I don't need to be the showman for you now that the show is over.
Well, one of the biggest events at South by 2017, the world premiere of Big Star's Thank You Friends, the album Third Live, and other material, and the performance of those songs at the Central Presbyterian Church. So it seems appropriate. Big Star, Thank You Friends, KETX.
I'm so grateful for all
Kindly, thank you so much.
KUTX 98.9, good afternoon. This is our South by Southwest wrap-up show. And one of the big events at South by Southwest, the world premiere of the film called Thank You, Friends, about the concert for Big Star's third. And from that album, we heard Thank You, Friends. And this is a good time to express gratitude to David Frick and Robin Hitchcock for being here today and every South by that they come and everyone from out of town that comes to Austin to be here for South by Southwest. You're appreciated. And you make this happen. Thank you, friends. John Doe followed with Get On Board, I believe recorded at the Four Seasons for South by Southwest 2016. And we had 16 artists play at the Four Seasons for 2017. You can hear all of them and stream video from most of them at KUTX.org. They include Spoon, My Jerusalem, Maggie Rogers, Temples, Black Angels, and others. And John Doe is playing tonight at the Continental Club, the annual Sims benefit. On the bill, Amy Cook, Nina Diaz, Javier Escovedo, David Garza, Susanna Schofel, and more with John Doe. Get On Board. A new Austinite. Robin, you bumped into John out at Willie Nelson's Luck reunion?
Yes, he said he'd just moved here about 3 or 4 days before. And he looked very well.
I bet he's in love.
Yes, I think he is. Yeah.
John, so you think you're in love? And Nico Case, This Tornado Loves You from Middle Cyclone. Nico was here with the New Pornographers as well as for a solo show. And the other day on the radio, I got to play a Robin Hitchcock song into Nico Case's cover of Madonna of the Wasps. Robin, did you bump into Nico while you were here?
I tried. I went to see her show at the Clive, I think it's called. And I did manage, I spoke to Hogan afterwards, and Nico and I exchanged text, and we have a date to try and track down some cheesy fries. But I haven't actually seen the lady herself lately.
Well, I saw a picture of her dressed in a Twin Peaks costume to start her show.
Oh, yeah, she was dressed as an owl. That was odd. Yes.
And wonderful, like Nico herself. Robin and David and I got together to do this, the three of us, in 2013. So this is the first time in 4 years. And when we did that, I think we ended the show with 1 or 2 hours worth of Beatles music because we love it and it heals us and it's beautiful. We didn't do that today, but when we were at my house yesterday getting the show together, I just thought, I'm going to throw out a question. What's your favorite unacknowledged solo Beatles tune? So everyone chimed in and we'll hear each of them and we'll talk about them for a second. We'll go with you, David, first. You chose a song from, I believe, 1975.
It was originally on the Venus and Mars album. It was actually it was written in 74 and recorded in New Orleans during the sessions for Venus and Mars. And, you know, I just think Paul McCartney is a great soul singer. Oh, Darlin', when he does the Little Richard stuff, and he really powers his voice into that dimension. It's really, really special. And when I did the liner notes for the Wings Over America reissue, the mega box with DVD and whatnot, I got to talk to him about the song. And it was a really key number in those sessions because it's really the only song on that record that sounds grounded in New Orleans R&B and that thing that he came from, which was Fats Domino. You know, Lady Madonna is total Fats Domino. So this was his homage to the city that had meant so much to him and where he was now making what would be one of his biggest records.
Just a little baby boy. Every night. Choose love. love.
Simply Fab. KUTX 98.9, as we come to the close of our South By wrap-up show, these three Beatlemaniacs had to indulge themselves, so I posed the question to Robin Hitchcock and David Frick to choose an unacknowledged Beatles solo song, and David chose Call Me Back Again from Venus and Mars, which was one of the centerpieces of the Wings Over America concert, which you contributed a booklet to for the archive edition release.
It wasn't just a booklet. The damn thing was 10,000 words. But I saw that tour.
Me too.
And it was just, you know, it was the first time I'd seen a Beatle in the flesh. And it was amazing.
My memory is I sat in the same row as Jackie Onassis at Madison Square Garden.
Okay, my seats weren't quite that good, but
that good. Poor Jackie, I thought, wow, you could have got an upgrade. You're sitting here with the punters. But so good call. And 1 week from Friday, I think, last Friday, Flowers in the Dirt is reissued in one of those archive editions. I'm looking forward to that. I chose Ringo Starr. I could have chose something from the Ringo Rama box set, which I contributed an interview disc to. But I chose Choose Love, which was a 2005 record, because it rocks. And I like hearing Ringo rocking.
And it's a nice sentiment.
It is. And he's still using it every day of his life. Peace and love. And we're down with that. And so I posed the question to Robin. And Robin chose a George and a John Lennon song. And the George Harrison song you chose is one of my favorites from George's second studio solo record, Living in the Material World. I know you play some songs from that record. Do you play this one, Robin?
I do play this one sometimes. I'm not sure I do it in the same key, but I think this is one of the more successful songs from this record. It's nice because he actually goes back to his Indian period sound, which it's a shame he left it.
Yeah.
Because he kind of coined that in the Beatles, and then when it sort of got out of fashion. He wasn't doing it. They all dumped the sitar in 68, including George, which was a pity because he'd really brought that in. He'd really helped bring that into the Beatles. And
he and Ravi were still together. And, you know, he was very, you know, committed to Indian music, but it sort of came out of his own music
to the degree. What he was playing. He felt that he knew enough about Indian music to feel it was wrong to try and mix it with Western stuff, but I thought he just had a terrific sound, and it's really nice on this track.
Thank you.
Okay, okay. Give me a little more tape in the head or more.
Okay, we're rolling on one. A one, a two, a one, a two, three, four.
Selling yet, or if it sinks, you know that all we really get is wet. Move over, Miss L. You know I wish you well. Move over, Miss L. You know I wish you well. Move over, Miss L.
Some under-recognized Beatles solo material chosen by Robin Hitchcock, the last two songs. You mentioned Move Over, Miss L when we were curating this, and I mentioned there was that version on the anthology. You hadn't heard it.
I hadn't, but, you know, nobody says okay like John Lennon, do they? Okay.
I think the most interesting parts of the anthology, the Lennon anthology, are the intros and outros. So that was a B-side, Move Over, Miss L, perhaps to Stand By Me.
I think so. It was right around
mid-70s.
That period. Yeah.
I don't even know what session they were.
And I believe it was first recorded by Keith Moon for his album Two Sides
yes.
of the Moon.
Yeah.
And then John put out the version that appeared on the 45, and then on the anthology we have that version, which has a little more breathing room, a little less compressed.
Sounds
and
fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other one has an awful lot going on in it. Is this like 73, 74?
Yes.
Yeah, it's around the 74. Time of the rock and roll sessions.
Is it pre-Walls and Bridges?
Yes.
Yes.
Aha, okay.
Do we win anything? I don't know. I thought we got the questions
right. No, if there was a prize, I'd hand one out.
Well, I've won some white gloves, quite a lot of them.
Oh, yes. And someone brought us some presents. And also George Harrison, the amazing Be Here Now from Living in the Material World. I believe he took the title from the Ram Dass book.
Ah,
and there's a wonderful version of that song on the George Fest DVD CD by Ian Astbury of The Cult. Somewhat unlikely,
really?
But he does a lovely version of Be Here Now. And that's what we have done. We have been here now, David and I since 10, Robin Hitchcock since noon, and these gentlemen for days for South by Southwest. David with his 26th, I think, South by?
Well, whatever 1991 to 2017 is.
Another
an unbroken record.
And Robin, who visits us every few South Bys, but will be back March 29th on a bill with the Psychedelic Furs, and looking forward to that.
Oh, blimey, yes, at Emo's, yeah.
So you will be back, and the release of the new album, Robin Hitchcock, next month.
I just have to live long enough for it to come out, and I mean, hopefully then beyond, but you know, a lot of people kind of go as their record comes out now, so...
If I can survive
the release, then that's great. I can. I'm working on the next one already.
No, stay here now and for a long time.
Well, thank you.
And we gave love to Chuck Berry this morning and,
yeah.
James Cotton as well. KUTX's South By coverage comes supported by Austin Laser Dentist, Helen Ragsdale, and Independence Brewing Company, serving Austin's independent drinkers and thinkers. And I thank you both. And David, you and I have a date 1 year from today.
It's the invitation that keeps on giving. Thank you very, very much.
Robin, if you're here, you're invited as well.
Well, thank you. That might just be the incentive I need.
And give our best to Emma. And hopefully we will see you March 29th with the Psychedelic Furs. This went by so quickly. It's exactly 2 o'clock. Elizabeth McQueen joins you next. It seemed to go by in 3/5 of a mile in 10 seconds.
You were kind. No, I love you, baby. Yes, I do. No, I love you, baby. Yes, I do. You away with people.
This is 98.9 KUTX Leander, KUT HD2 90.5 Austin, and KUTX.org. Community supported public radio from UT Austin.